Hi there and welcome back. And as I said, Diet, Health and Fitness, I am Denise Oliver. I am still here. Tracy Jones is in the building. She's just talking to Kirsty Percival, who is meant to be leaving, but is still with us. And Ben Calder's joined me. Hello.
Good morning. Or good afternoon, as it is now, isn't it? Hi. Happy New Year.
Do you know, I never quite know what to say at midday. You know, is it, are we happy midday-ish? You know?
Sure.
And whenever I've been on the show and somebody's gone, hi, how are you? And it's like, hi, good. Morning, afternoon, where are we up to?
Maybe
it
we
never
just
feels like I've been awake long enough to be in the afternoon.
Sure, maybe we just need to go Spanish and go for buenos dias,
you know,
because
like
then
that.
We've got a good day
and it's
nice and easy.
It's a good day, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's cool. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. You know, we've had a nice break over Christmas, got an exciting program of stuff coming up at Integral Health this spring.
Yeah.
So, you know, motivated, doing a bit of a detox myself and looking after myself this January. So it's all really exciting.
Just tell us, what are you following, a particular program? Have you made this up yourself?
Well, as always, I'm on my epigenetic biotyping. So I'm listening to actually my body's genetic predisposition, but I'm also taking a sugar and alcohol break. If there's two things that got increased over the holiday season, it was definitely those two, and they really need a little bit of a gap, so that's great.
Alcohol's gone completely out of my diet now. It's mm-hmm. just not serving me whatsoever, so it's like that favourite coat has
but it never does. Remember, we only get the effects of alcohol when we start getting poisoned. So,
what do you mean?
Well, the reason that alcohol makes us feel like it does is because our liver stops being able to metabolize it.
Sure.
And it's a poisoning that we're experiencing, which is what drunkenness is, essentially.
I've never thought about it as a poisoning, not in that sense.
Sure.
I think I just got became aware of even before I'd started on the sort of more holistic track, that it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Just made me feel absolutely crappy.
Yeah.
So then I went through that cycle of, well, perhaps it's beer, I'll cut beer out. Perhaps it's lager, I'll cut lager out, because I was drinking those because they were cheaper, la la la.
Sure.
And so on to wine, no, red wine, no, that's not working now either. White wine, oh, not so keen on that. I'll have champagne. Champagne was great for a long time.
of course. Bubbles.
That's gone as well. My favourite used to be a gin and tonic.
Absolutely.
Used
Still
to
is
be.
For me.
My husband's used to be a whiskey drinker, and he's really got into gin because it's really come back into fashion.
Yeah.
It's interesting how these things go in cycles.
Sure. And if you do a bit of research with your gins, you can see there's a big botanical basis within gins.
Mm.
So they do have a medicinal perspective if they're used appropriately. So I'm giving myself a bit of a break. And then in mid-February, we'll add in some infrequent but appropriate gin use.
Oh, any particular one?
My favourite at the moment is actually a Liverpool dry gin, which is an organic gin with about 10 botanicals in it. And it's just so clean and so crisp and it's beautiful.
Yeah, my husband's taken to Sipsmiths, which is produced down south.
Yes.
So probably from where he lived most of his life.
It's a good gin.
You know, maybe, what's it called? Sipsmith.
Yes.
He likes that one.
Yeah.
And there's loads and loads of others. And he's having fun with that. I bought him a book all about the different gins.
Nice.
So, yes, he's going to be a bit of a nerd when it comes to talking gin.
Perfect.
So what are we going to talk about today, Ben? You've brought some little notes with you.
Absolutely. I want to, because of where I am with the whole sugar thing, I want to talk a little bit about sugar, its effect on liver function, cholesterol levels, immune system, and then just a little bit on how we can support our immunity and our liver function through echinacea, vitamin C, and colloidal silver. So I've got some interesting stuff for that
and
to
I'd
come
like
up.
To sort of pick your brains about when is a good time to be taking vitamins
Absolutely.
And minerals during the day. Last week we did talk about sugar. It's been a hot topic for the last couple of years, so every new year sugar's in the news again, and we were talking about the Public Health England sugar app. Do you know about this?
A free app. I haven't seen that, actually.
It's actually aimed at parents and to take their children shopping and to use this app to show the kids how much sugar is in the things that they want to have.
Great idea.
And Tracy actually downloaded the app. So when she actually gets in the studio, we'll ask her if she's been using it and what help it's been. So sugar, you're on a bit of a no sugar January.
Definitely. I mean, there's a couple of reasons for it. There's always the, I've had a bit much sugar over Christmas bit. It almost can't be helped unless you really want to. And generally I don't want to because I do like my sugar.
So what do you like? Just give us an indication.
I'm a cake man, definitely.
Okay.
Good cakes, good chocolate cakes. But it was quite interesting that right before Christmas, literally 21st, I had a bit of a health screening done. My dad has heart disease, and so okay. they keep me screened just, you know, so they can know when they can put me on medication that I won't be taking.
Yeah.
and my cholesterol level was actually quite high. It was like 8.2. Okay. Now, the balance HDL, LDL was good, so I'm not worried about it. And also, I'm not too worried about a lot of cholesterol levels, to be honest. But it just reminded me, actually, that one of the things that raises our cholesterol levels is sugar. Mm. Now, not a lot of people know that because the liver actually produces increased uric acid, which contributes to gout, and that is as a response to sugar, but also our cholesterol levels will go up. So a lot of the time, having a low-fat diet isn't the key to reducing your cholesterol.
It's
the sugar because of the way the body metabolizes it. And it's interesting, as an addictive substance, not only have MRIs shown that it lights up the same areas of the brain as cocaine, but in studies done with rats, they found that even when they've had rats addicted to cocaine, they will prefer sugar over cocaine because it's a more addictive substance. So we've got to be really careful. But it's actually quite an immune system depressant. So a lot of the time when we've had a really sugary December because of parties and whatever else, it's one of the reasons why we feel so fatigued in January, because studies have again shown that it actually acts as more of a sedative than it does as a stimulant. So those people out there who think that they should be taking, having a quick sugar hit to get their energy up, it actually is counterproductive. You'd be better off having some protein or some fat, interestingly enough.
Interestingly, that's exactly what Kirsty was saying on my show earlier.
Brilliant. Perfect. I mean, you know, it's coming from two horses' mouths there then. So,
and I concur.
Yeah, absolutely. But just the way it affects our immune system makes us more prone to being affected by bacteria and viruses at this time of the year, especially because so far we've had such a mild winter.
Yeah.
You know, we're more likely to get ill because of that sugar. So taking a break from it is a really useful thing to do.
Mm. So what are you not eating and what are you eating?
So from a sugar point of view, I still allow fruit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't cut out natural sources of sugar. I'm completely minimizing honey. So very, very rarely will I have that, because they are kind of a little bit more refined in that sense. They're still not in natural grade. So fruit I'm still having. Honey, you know, I think I've had once this year so far. But then everything else is out. So
no cakes, no biscuits.
No cakes, no biscuits.
Chocolate.
No chocolate, no processed foods.
Okay.
So I'm just really staying away from that. So I'm keeping it nice and clean. So good quality protein in the form of organic meat and lots of fruit and veg. And I'm really lucky that the organic veg company, we've got lots of spring greens, lots of kale, lots of cabbage available. So I'm doing a lot of nice stuff with that. And just so I'm upping my B vitamins, I'm upping my magnesium naturally by having those greens. So really useful stuff.
You're not talking about supplementation there?
Not above what I'm generally taking anyway.
Okay.
So you know, at this time of year, and I'll cover this a little bit more later on in the show, but you know, I'm in there with my zinc, I'm in there with my vitamin D, but that's my general stuff anyway. Just the proportions of it will change at this time of year.
Cool. Anything else that, you know, what's your water intake? You're not having alcohol. And how are you feeling by, you know, not having the sugar and the alcohol?
Fabulous. First week, I'm a little bit grumpy, I have to say, because sugar is so addictive.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how it alters the brain chemistry.
Yeah.
So first week is always a little bit, oh, I don't like it. And you kind of, you can almost feel yourself scratching and kind of like, oh, God, I want something that's a bit sugary. But I know that's just the withdrawal.
Yeah.
And now I'm into kind of nearly at the end of the second week of that. And you know, starting to actually feel quite lively, quite vigorous. My physical activity levels have gone up because I'm kind of just making sure that I get my body back into that routine. Because, you know, Christmas, it's 2 weeks out and it's always a bit of a change. So, you know, water, I'm you know, my water intake is pretty consistent. I'm usually somewhere between about 3 and 4 litres a day. So that's my kind of typical water intake. And then teas are on top of that. I'm still treating myself to my two favourite coffees at the weekend. weekend. So I'll have a Saturday and a Sunday coffee, and those are my coffees.
Okay.
But you know, they're spiced. So we have it with fresh cardamom, fresh cinnamon, fresh clove, because again, that's anti-inflammatory. It helps the immune system. Plus, it helps your body metabolize the coffee different. And I always have it with cream as well.
Yes, so, I came across somebody else who likes to have it with cream.
Yeah.
And says it's very different.
Sure.
That way.
And it's not just, I mean, if you look at the bulletproof coffee and the bulletproof chocolate, it's the fat richness of it that your body will metabolize it all differently because of the fat content.
Mm.
And we've become such a carb orientated society in a lot of ways. And all that's doing is sending our insulin levels, you know, off the chart. So a nice fat rich coffee.
Yeah.
You could almost go as far as Tibetan yak butter tea. You know, it's where they literally stick yak butter in their tea.
Okay.
And it just helps with energy and all sorts of stuff. So
it's much more sustaining, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Well?
Yeah. So it doesn't overhype you.
Yeah, quite. Tracy Jones has joined us. Hello.
Hello.
How are you feeling?
Oh, a little bit bloated, if I'm perfectly honest. If anybody's been following the story, I'm taking part in some research at Chester Uni and I'm eating 60 grams of bran flakes for breakfast every morning. And I think 60 grams of bran flakes are staying inside me too.
So when did they last appear? which last day did they actually leave your body?
A couple of days ago.
Oh dear. Yeah, they don't work on everyone. They don't help everyone stay regular.
But I'm doing this for the sake of research, and I'll be glad when it's all over.
You.
Only 3 more weeks to go.
You're going to need a big medal when you finish this.
You're going to need a big something. For science. Perfect.
It won't be bran flakes for breakfast, I can assure you.
So what are you looking forward to having for breakfast after you've finished your bran flakes?
Gosh, I don't know, a cup of hot water, I think. I like eggs for breakfast. I quite like a protein-based breakfast. So, you know, some mushrooms and some eggs or something like that. That would be my ideal.
That would be lovely, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I mean, I could have the bran flakes for lunch, but where's the love in bran flakes for lunch?
Good Lord, no.
I could choose to have them for dinner, but really?
Really?
Oh, yeah, no. So I'm keeping them at breakfast and then at least I've got something to look forward
to.
They're over with, yeah. No more self-punishment for the day.
So I am at least consoling myself and knowing that I'm helping a young lady to get a PhD. She better do it now.
And you don't know, do you, in this research, whether you're taking a placebo or actually having vitamin D?
That's right. Every evening I take a little pill. It could be a sugar pill or it could be vitamin D. And what she's tracing is iron levels. Now, the bran flakes come loaded with iron. It's my bran flakes breakfast is 60% of my daily iron intake, which my body's probably going, what are you doing? Because I've always been low in iron, hence why I was eligible for the research. But we're looking at the effects of vitamin D, of which there's plenty shining down on us right now in the studio.
Yeah, we're
not going to be absorbing
much through the... double windows that we're looking through. But it's very bright, which is very lovely.
So what have I missed?
So Ben, quick recap what we've been talking about. Ben's on an alcohol sugar-free January.
Which has been good fun. Yes, good. I've been looking at the effects of that on our liver function, cholesterol levels, on how it actually depresses the immune system and so on. And now we're going to take a look at how we can improve the immunity through the winter as well by things like echinacea, vitamin C, vitamin D, which you might or might not be taking, and zinc as well. And it's interesting, you kind of mentioned about, okay, we're not going to absorb vitamin D even with the sun streaming through the studio windows here. But that's also because any time between the autumn equinox and the spring equinox, the angle of the sun is too low for us to produce any vitamin D.
Wow, okay.
So you could be absolutely naked on your lawn for 10 hours a day in sunshine any time between those two dates and you will not make a single bit of vitamin D.
That's good to know for when I'm lying naked on my lawn.
Whenever you're thinking about it, yeah, just remember there's no vitamin D gain from
there.
It.
Yeah,
no.
Sure. So presumably...
So stop doing it.
The research that they're doing at Chester Uni, it's quite important they do it in the winter because they know that you're not getting any other source of vitamin D.
Yeah, so only through... you're only likely to be picking it up through oily fish, really. And if people are into organ meats... yeah, good organ meat as well.
Organ meat.
Yeah.
I know, just saying... organ meat is really off-putting, isn't it?
And yeah, I've learned to make the best chicken liver pate this winter that I think I've ever tasted. And you know, so it's a really nice, easy source of good organ meat there. Lovely.
Fab.
Well, I'm speechless. It's like, no, we're not, Tracy and I aren't meat eaters.
No, sure.
At all. It's just not our thing, is it? Well, yeah, the pleasure's all yours, Ben.
Thank you.
Last week, we discovered a new app. We were talking about the Sugar Challenge. And it's associated app, which I can't now for the life of me remember what it's called. What's it called?
Yeah, it's via Public Health England,
yeah.
And it's free to download to any app style phone.
And we mentioned it in the show last week, but we couldn't find any offending articles in the whole building. Nobody had any chocolates or sweets or
anything. You couldn't actually break into the machine here to go and register a can of something.
No. So in the intervening period, I've let my kids loose with the scanner. They love it, actually. It's really designed for children, and they love the idea of going around and scanning barcodes. So they've been scanning anything that's got a barcode, including furniture. But the things that they have scanned, they've actually have taken note. I've talked to them about their daily allowance, and they're of the age where their daily allowance is 6 cubes. And that works so much better than grams, because
yeah,
they can actually visualise a sugar cube. And then they've been scanning some of their regular treats. Now, one in particular, my daughter adores wine gums, and she will inhale a packet of wine gums. And she was really shocked that her little packet that she was going to eat in a couple of minutes had 7.4 sugar cubes in it. She did still eat the pack because she'd just bought them, but she did think twice, and she hasn't bought any since, so that's quite
interesting.
Useful. Other things that we've scanned, I'm just having a look. A Cadbury's double decker, in one double decker, there's 7.6 sugar cubes, and my little lad wanted one yesterday, and we scanned it. I said, well, that's more than your daily allowance, and he actually chose not to have it. He did have some chocolate, but he went for a Freddo, which is, 40 grams of chocolate and none of the nougat and stuff instead, so...
Mm.
It was a lot better. So, yeah, I would highly recommend it. The kids have really got engaged with it. And, you know, I've used it just to inform them, not necessarily say, no, you can't have that. But this is your daily allowance. This is what's recommended. And do you really want that Kinder chocolate bar? That's half your daily allowance. If you want it, you can have it. But you know, just bear that in mind. Mm. So I've been really pleased with that.
Good. I'm glad it's worked, because when you were running around the studio last week, it was a bit like, oh, can't find anything to scan here.
And the first few things that I scanned, they didn't have in the database, but I looked on the Facebook feed for the app, and they were just populating the database. So every day they're putting more and more things on there. So it shouldn't be quite so
empty.
They're
going to have thousands and thousands of things on there, aren't they?
It takes a long time to go through everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, good, all the main stuff.
Good
that you
on
could,
them.
All the stuff that the kids would be buying at the sweet counter, they were all there.
Yeah.
So that was easy.
And it's
enough.
Surplus to requirements. We don't need this. I'm sure the manufacturers are delighted.
So, Ben, do you need to use the sugar app, or do you know exactly how much sugar is in things?
I don't know exactly how much sugar is in things, but my rule of thumb is if it has the word sugar on an ingredients list, there's probably more than I need in there.
Okay.
So, if
so
I keep
part
it...
of your dry and sugar-free January.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So no secret kind of lines of sugar, you know, out of the way of everybody. It's all just, you know, I'm being good to myself.
So, Ben, a little something that's come to my awareness only yesterday is that somebody asked me if there was an optimum time to take their vitamins and minerals. So I just thought we could have a little chat about that.
Sure. And this is often quite a confusing area for people, partly because also there's natural variance. And as a kinesiologist, it's always my preference to test people for what their bodies actually need.
Yeah.
But as a rule of thumb, what I tend to find is that vitamins in the morning, especially your B vitamins, because they're there to help thyroid, help metabolism, get things going, and minerals and fats and oils in the evening, because the minerals will act as a natural sedative into the body and will help to sedate the nervous system. So especially if you're using things like magnesium, which is chronically deficient in about 75% of women and involved in 3,500 enzyme reactions in your body, you take magnesium in the evening, it'll actually help to sedate you, help you to sleep better, and you'll wake up with better energy because it'll have been working through the night.
So a multivitamin and mineral.
Bad idea.
But there are so many products that are multivitamin and mineral.
Yeah, sure.
And people buy them off the shelf and think they're doing themselves good.
Yeah.
And then there's all sorts of reports about if you feel fatigued, you should take this and take two or three of these a day.
Yeah.
And it's so random, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you really do, again, you know, I'd always advise before vitamins and minerals, talking to somebody, a nutritionist, kinesiologist, somebody who's professionally involved in them, because what you actually need might not be as obvious.
Yeah.
And so often I see people that come in and they come in with trays of supplements sometimes. And most of the time you're ditching at least 50% of those when you test people. But it's about getting the dosage right for an individual, and it's about getting the timing right for an individual. And often that involves dividing stuff up and making sure that you're not having it all at once, making sure that you're looking at what the function of that thing is.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned, B vitamins are going to improve your metabolism. There's no point in taking them at night, you know, because otherwise you're just going to have a restless night and you're not going to be feeling so good.
Yeah.
Although specific bits of the B vitamin complex can be used to act as a sedative. So it's really understanding what vitamins are for and how they function, rather than just buying what looks like a good value, all-encompassing, well, if I take the lot, it'll all be all right. You're actually better off microdosing with individual vitamins and minerals rather than overdoing like a broad spectrum.
I've always had a less is more attitude towards vitamins and minerals, and not and in fact, when somebody comes to see me, it's not the first port of call.
Sure.
It's hydration, better nourishment, and then let's have a look at how you're feeling and working it out from there.
Absolutely.
So that has always been my thing. B vitamins are water soluble.
That's right.
So they're the ones that when you take them, or they're in a multivitamin, that turn your pee a wonderful bright yellowy green colour. This amazing fluorescent thing. Is there anything that helps them, apart from good hydration, is there anything that would complement them that you might take with them? If, as a rule of thumb, not for the individual.
Really, with B vitamins, the big thing to remember is to take them as a complex. So even if you're needing to take extra amounts of any specific B vitamin, it's always better if you have them with a full spectrum of the B vitamins, including inositol and choline, so the body will metabolise them together as a group.
Mm. And so at night, people, if they're looking for something perhaps to take that might just calm their body down, magnesium?
Definitely.
What else?
Magnesium, calcium, zinc. So they're the three that I really look at a lot for people in the evenings. And they have such a wide-ranging effect on the body. So many body systems rely on them. Your DNA can't recycle itself without good levels of zinc. Your immune system is dependent on your zinc. So all of that stuff needs looking at together, really. And, you know, one of the kind of supplement providers I work a lot with, Epigenetics International, their two biggest selling products worldwide are magnesium and zinc because they're in the highest efficiency almost across all populations.
And I think about women in the Western world and the effect the contraceptive pill has on their body, and if you're taking the contraceptive pill, please take a zinc supplement as well, because it depletes you. I don't understand the chemistry of it, I don't know why that happens, but I know that it does.
Sure.
And I know the medical profession actually inform women that they if they're going to be taking the contraceptive pill long term, they're going to need a zinc supplement as well.
The structure of that's quite easy. It's because the pill actually changes the way our body metabolizes copper, and copper's an antagonist to zinc.
Yeah.
So too much zinc takes our copper levels too low. Too much copper takes our zinc levels low.
Okay.
So you need to stabilize that so that because the contraceptive pill raises our blood copper levels, that the zinc needs to be in there to compensate and stabilize.
Goodness me, Ben, you've got a little something about colloidal silver you want to share with us.
That's right. Fantastic immune remedy, antibacterial, antiviral, incredibly powerful. But and we find it in dressings, we find it in all sorts of places, but it's not recognised by the Food and Drug Administration as having any medicinal benefits. And in fact, in the UK, you can only buy it legally as a cutlery sanitizer, not as a medicine. But NASA have just announced that they are going to be using colloidal silver filtration for all of their space station and all of their spaceships. And the Russians have been doing this for years, but the fact that NASA have now now endorsed it as well, is great. And the FDA are up in arms about it because they don't have any jurisdiction in space. So they can't suppress this.
Not yet.
This wonderful medicine that you can make for yourself. It's totally inert to humans, really safe for use, and is effective against things like MRSA and some quite serious infections that have got antibiotic resistance. So it's an incredible product, really worth looking into. Just make sure that if you buy it, you buy it in glass bottles, and you make sure that it's a 5 to 10 part per million particle size, because then that way you won't get the often quoted side effect of silver, which is agria, where you go blue. But that's where the term born with a silver spoon in your mouth and blue-blooded for the royals comes from, because they all used silver to help with their immune system.
Did they?
And in fact, it goes all the way back to Alexander the Great. He used to put silver coins in his water containers to take them across the desert because they never got infected.
So now I've got this image of all of the former royals looking like Avatar.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Swing through the trees.
Oh, that'd be really cool. I'd like to be that.
Oh, that's a nice, interesting note to end on. We may be blue next week. Who knows? Take care. Bye.
Bye. Bye.